Welcome to Community Faith Church Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message will not only bless you, but reignite you as you continue your journey with God. Get ready to be blessed and enjoy.
Praise the name of Jesus. We bless your name. Amen. Lesson 5. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The nature of God. To tell you the truth, I'm standing here tonight, but I really don't want to be here. I actually want to be with my granddaughter tonight. Hallelujah. But my calling would not permit it. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I tried to get out of it, spoke whole day with the Lord. I said, can I go? Can I go? He said, no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here to serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Last week we had some leaders. Amen. And I know that you were blessed by them. So tonight let's start with the nature of God. Many times we think that God is just waiting to whip us. So when we build a relationship with God, you must understand the nature of a person. When I'm going to build a relationship with you, I must understand you. I must get to know you. When I get to know you, it is amazing how many people can say stuff about somebody that you don't even know. And then you already judge them before you meet them. And maybe you'll never meet them. But based on what somebody else says, you have already formed an opinion. And sometimes we must be careful that we don't pronounce judgment on God because we heard, no, if you miss the mark, God is going to do this to you. You don't know God. Yeah. Amen? You must get to know God. You must. God loves us so much that, do you know, that in our teaching tonight, do you know that even before we got saved, God wanted a relationship with you? He wants a relationship with each and every one of us. Even when we make a mistake, His heart is always reaching out to us, reaching out to us, reaching out to us. He says, come back home, man. Come back home. Make right. Repent. Change your ways. I love you. So tonight is about the nature of God and understanding that if we want to have a positive relationship with the Lord, we must know His nature and we must know His real character. We must know His nature and we must know His real character. We must know His what? His nature and His what? His real character. Who knows God's character? Who knows God's character? Who think they know God's character? What type of God is He? Anybody? What type of God, according to you, maybe out of relationship that you have with Him. What? He's a God of love. That's His nature. So you've come to know Him as a God of love. Yeah, that's right. Anybody else? God of compassion. That's His nature. That's His character. He's a God of God of love, God of compassion. He's a... Sorry? God that hates sin. Yes, He does. That's His character. He hates sin. God of mercy. Yeah, that's His character. Fair God. He's a God of patience. A God that stays on His... He's a promise keeper. Amen? He's a God that cares. He's a wonderful God. He's a God that heals. He's a God that heals. Yes. He's a forgiving God. He's a just God. He's a God of salvation. He saves us. God of grace. God of faithfulness. Amen. Isn't this powerful? And those that maybe I had a personal experience concerning that part of God. It's amazing. And so as you grow in the Lord and things happen to you, and it will happen to you. You know, not things that's always pleasant. You must make sure that you know the character of God. that you, when you get attacked, when you get through challenges, whatever you face, maybe you're going through some grieving, maybe you are healing, because there's layers of healing. Amen? And so you must understand that God is a God that loves you. God is a God of faithfulness. God is a God that saves you. God is a God that loves you. Amen? Because if we don't know the character of God, the nature of God, it can destroy our relationship with Him. Are you with me? It can destroy our relationship because we ask, Lord, why did that happen to me? When you have a relationship with God, you get into a place where you don't ask questions like that anymore. Why did it happen to me? You say, even in this, Lord, I know you love me. Even in this, Lord, I know you're faithful. Even in this, I don't know. Lord, did I open a door or what? Show me even in this thing. Because I don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Maybe it's a Job moment. I don't know. Are you with me? Is He angry because of our sin? Or is He merciful God who wants to give us His life and blessing independent of our performance? The scripture actually gives. Now, I take it for granted. I'm running through this because I take it for granted you read through it. Amen? Amen? I take it for granted. So you'll talk with me. That's why I'll summarize sometimes stuff. Amen? Are you with me? So I take it for granted you spend time with God this week. Amen? Now, when we read this, the example being made here is that even though that God loves us, there was a time that God will somehow kill you. Yes, you'll see it in your notes. There was a time where the Bible says, and the mouth of the earth has got a mouth, opened up and swallowed people. Yes, there was a time. The Bible also says, but where there is no law, sin cannot be imputed to you. It's like you going to a store and say, put it on my tab. Put it on my tab. So in other words, you took stuff from the store. You didn't pay for it. You just said, I'll pay later. So what the cashier will do, the owner will do, he will impute it to you. So he'll put it to your charge. So in the Old Testament, you will find out that even though people have sinned before the law, there was no charge to their account. But then God had to be very decisive in how He deals with His people so that they can see the effects of sin, because sin will destroy you. Amen. Then the law, I'm just summarizing, so I expect you that you've read it. That's why I'll stop and say, okay, now you summarize further. If I don't get you to a place where I can just give you the mic, you'll never grow. Because what I've done over the years, I've taught you, but not allow you and test you. I just assume that you know. But when I ask you, you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to teach. Because you never go back and go read the Bible. Now the test comes. Now you fall. Now the test comes. Now you cry. Now the test comes. Now you leave the church. Now the test comes, your friends left you, everybody left you, your car's gone, everything is gone. Because some of you will get to a place where you lose everything. And still you must find out that God loves you. Yes. Yes. Are you with me? Are you with me? So God is a God of love. God is a God of love. So now he gives now the Ten Commandments to Moses. And the Bible says it now exaggerated your sin. It shows you. Not because God hates you. It shows you how big this thing is that separates you from God. That's why when we do stuff, God will still speak to you. Because he understands if he doesn't call out to you, This thing will kill you. That's why you will find out in now you can only do this if you have an understanding of what is in here. If you don't have an understanding, you're going to talk a lot of nonsense to the people. That's why you read it over and over, and you go to the scripture over, and so that you can speak out of your heart. But you will find out as you read it, ek slat die spyker elke keer op die nail met die. What I'm just doing, I'm just opening up more to you. Are you with me? That's why when Adam and Eve sinned, you will find out that God calls out to them. Because some people say, when you miss the mark, God won't speak to you. Some people say, hey, God hates you. It's because you don't know his nature. You don't know his character. Why would he then call out to them and say, where are you? Some people say, no, God pushed him out of the garden because he didn't want to have anything to do with them. And yet he spoke to them. Like God speaks to us every single day. 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 Are you with me? Are you with me? Right at the bottom. Last parable. Paragraph. Hallelujah. That's referring to Romans chapter 5:13, but let's continue. This verse is saying that until the time the Ten Commandments came, sin was not being held against people, right? That's an amazing statement. Look at Genesis 3 and 4, I just explained to you. Now, let's continue. You can turn around. Genesis chapter 4. We can see the second paragraph from top. In Genesis 4, you can see that God was still fellowshipping with man and talking with Adam and Eve after they sinned. By their reaction, we can see, just a few lines down, by their reaction, we can see that they were accustomed to hearing his voice, and it didn't scare them. The voice of God should not scare us. The voice of God should not scare us, but we should never become too familiar with his voice. That's why when God spoke to Cain that killed his brother Abel, he heard the voice of God, but he had no fear for God. And yet God still reached out to him and say, where's your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? But it's God that's speaking to him. Even though he murdered his brother, God still reached out to him. He says, where are you? But you see, the danger of hearing God's voice is that we can become so familiar that we don't fear him anymore. So we sin because we don't fear. Are you with me? We should never get to a place where sin desensitizes our fear for God. The more we start to do stuff and don't know God for who he really is, when we hear the word, when we read the word, when we don't, then we don't fear God anymore. So we keep on doing what we're doing. We keep on doing what we're doing. And God says, I love you so much. I want to have a relationship with you. I understand that since Satan still operates in the heavenly realms and you can do nothing without me. Do you know that even in the midst of chaos, God will call out your name? He will speak to you. Are you with me? He will do what? He will speak to you. Now check this out. Check this out. The atmosphere is so charged with demonic activity that if you don't discipline yourself, the Bible says the word is truth, right? I've given them your word. So here God speaks his word, right? What happens if we don't have really a relationship with God, we will never discipline this flesh to hear from him. so that it touches our conscience. You'll see there's a part there where our conscience will be touched by God. Remember the lady, it's in your notes. Remember the lady comes, she commits adultery. Jesus sits on the floor, on the ground. They come and they wanted to trap him. They say, we found this lady. We found her in adultery, which means they looked. Many people that accuse people of things have been in it themselves. Hey, you don't want to. You might not be caught. But somehow you're part of doing that exact same thing. It's easier to deflect, to get away from you and put the spotlight on somebody else and make them seem bad, even though you are worse. We are worse. It's just the thing. That's the nature of man, to be able to judge people and to put them down. Acknowledge mom. Hello, grandma. Amen. So that's why you will find out religious people speak about other people. It's because you don't know the nature of God. And you have no more fear for God's word. And when we start to speak against people or about people, guess what happens? The fear of God leaves. And Satan operates in your life. But the nature of God is when he reaches out and he speaks to you, he wants to demonstrate his love, even though his love is not dependent on how you love him. That's why now I do stuff because of his love and not because I want his love. That's why I don't just speak anything. It's because of his love in my heart that does not allow me to say what I want to say. Because I can't say it. Because my mouth does not belong to me. Are you with me? And so, making a choice to get into the word of God, you will be fought in your mind. The Bible says, and they came, and he was writing on the ground. Go to that scripture, it's somewhere there in your notes. Can somebody read it? I think the scripture reference is there. You got it?
Yes, Dad.
You can read.
Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground.
Continue.
And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience.
Hold on. Read that again.
And they which heard it, being convicted.
Now what did they hear? Just go back.
He
stooped on the ground and he wrote. And what did he say?
He stooped down and he wrote on the ground. But before that he said, let him first cast the stone at her. That part.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
And then what happened?
And then he stooped down at the ground and wrote on the ground.
Yeah. Now listen. He spoke to them. Then he stooped down. Now they've got time to think. He spoke to them, stooped down. Their conscience started to speak now. Their conscience is start to be made alive, because in sin your conscience is dead. That's why you do what you want to do. But when you understand the nature of God, that is calling out to them, that I love you, and stop judging this person. Because you know, you're part of what she done. Oh no, you say, they won't catch in the act, but God says those that in their heart.
Yeah.
And their conscience did what?
Being convicted by their own conscience.
They were what?
Convicted.
Convicted by their own conscience. So when Jesus speaks, they have an encounter with the nature of God. The nature of God collided with their way of thinking. And because of his presence and having an encounter with Jesus, their conscience was awakened. When you have a personal encounter with God, the nature of God, the character of God, I'm just not just talking about you reading or coming to church. When you spend time in his presence, they were standing there, they were all moaning, they were all groaning, they had the stones ready, they were in his presence. Direct presence of God. The word of God brings you in direct presence with God. Be honest, how many of us, including me, would have picked up a stone that time and says, killer? Because the law says, killer. Some of you won't, because you don't raise your hand. You know why pastors and teachers ask you to participate? Who's clever enough? Why do we ask you to participate? Why does preachers say amen? Have you ever thought about that? Raise your hand. Have you ever thought about that? Like what I did now. Number one, we engage in the audience by letting them become part of the word and not just listening the word. Number one. Number two, you can immediately see who is awakened for the teaching or not. Because some of you heard that, you see the hands raised and you wonder, what did he just say now? So number two, we keep you alive by moving. Because some of you can look at me with your eyes wide open. But I don't know what happened in the week. I don't know what happened this morning. I don't know. So your mind is not here. Your mind is distracted. Who distracted your mind? Who distracted your mind? Because this is the word of God. So who's distracting you? Are you with me? So their conscience, because they made contact with God, their conscience was awakened. When you know you have an encounter with God, when your conscience is awakened. Now you can't say them anymore. You say me. You can't say they drink. Drunkards. You just say, Lord, it could have been me. Thank you for your mercy, your grace. I pray that your love that's in my heart, that you shed, your nature that has been revealed to my heart, I pray whatever is blinding them, pray that your love will show, just like you did with me. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter. So as we start to read through this, and as you start to study this in your heart, I know it's very difficult if you start Very difficult. You know, the most difficult thing is to be spiritual. As a Christian, the most difficult thing is to be, because you were born into just knowing one part of you, the flesh part, the soul part. Yeah, since you were born, all the way up, kick, van ons is al moeg gekeek. It's true. But when you have an encounter, that's why people give up. Because what they encounter in the church and outside is the same. They pray and nothing happened. Yes. How many of you prayed and nothing happened? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Wouldn't that discourage you? You pray for your family, is nog nie gered nie. And that's where I come to realize. Even the Bible says, and this shocked me, as I end up with this teaching. It shocked me. Alyssa, it shocked me. God doesn't listen to every prayer. Number two, we are not received based on our confession of lordship and the faith in our heart. Do you know, it's not my mind, that I say I receive him. Now, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. Make it open. Because I was listening to teachings over and over, and it didn't make sense. Do you know that the guy goes up, and then he says to the lady, he says, I want to marry you. Will you marry me? He can't stand up and go tell everybody, I'm getting married, I'm getting married, I'm getting married, I'm getting married, I'm getting married. Even though he knows she loves him. She needs to answer. You're so sure of yourself that she's going to say yes. You don't wait for yes. You go. And then in her heart, she says, maybe, you know, I love this guy, but maar hij is klaar. Hij is op Facebook. So which means just because you have received her doesn't mean that she has received you. Just because we said it doesn't mean that he received us. Because there's a principle here. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, my pastor, the Bible says that everybody that receive him, the Father has given us authority to become sons of God. So now what he does is, now you've made your confession. Now you say you believe. Now he waits to see whether you meant what you said. Before he receives you. You don't just become a son because of what you said. This is how I know that you love me. If you keep my commandments. This is how I know that you love me. Because we know his character now. We know he's a God that loves. He knows that God. Now he watches. He watches you. Now temptation comes. Now the flesh and the soul. Kijk, die vlees, hy gaan weer terug stof toe. Maar die soul is mos hy gered hy. And the only way that you can say no to the things of this world is to have a renewed mind. The moment you then make a decision that I want more of you, and I say no every single time, Jesus We've been trained in church that Jesus just receives you. That's why some people accept him based on them just going to heaven but live their lives totally. And then they pray and then they accept that God will just come through. Just come through. Just what? Come through. Now, if something happens to you, your wife, your children, of wat ook al gebeur, you will not pray. Even before things happen, you will not pray. When things happen, you want to say 20 prayers, expecting God to show up now. When you lose your job, right? When you lose your job, when you lose your job, and the pressure hits, really hits. There's no food, there's no petrol. Ek praat van really hit. I talk about really hit, really. Some of us, ons was nog nie daar nie. Then you must know that God is still calling your name. Amen. Then you must know. You will be tempted in a certain area for the rest of your life. Jesus is watching. The more you say no, you be actually in his presence, you become so strong. The thing that made you trip and fall, the words you used to speak in his presence, your conscience is awakened. So you can't act like you want. Like if I had my will tonight, I wouldn't be here. If I had my way, I wouldn't be here tonight. But I had to get my will right before I speak to you. Not my will, but your will. So now I get in a line. Now I started to will you. So I don't come here. We're done, let's go. There are certain things that you must want to will. God must break your will. A donkey, a stallion, moet ingeruid word. Is he met me nie? Some van ons is perde. A wild horse. They like him, mense moet op jou rug klim. Hey! So when you come to church, you don't like to be told. You are a wild stallion. You have all the potential to outrun everybody. Yo, are blink net so. Sy's net reg. But I will if we really get to know, because Cain's will wasn't broken. He became too familiar with God. So even if my husband is gone, even as my kinders weg is, even this last 4 days, 3 days in the ICU with my daughter, the devil says, you must got prayer line, eh? Let me see what you're going to do when I hit you, because you know, he knows how much I love my, I can enig iets wat I can do. I love him more than what I love my son-in-law and my daughter. So where will the enemy come? He says, jy bid moet so allemaal om gezond te raak. Wat gaat jy nou doen? You must minister, ne? So what are you going to do Wednesday night when you have to minister? Are you going to leave everything God's call and run? Do you love him more than God's calling? I'm asking you, what will you do? Because there will come a test when there's no money. What will you do? When you have to make a choice in honoring God with your money and with your hospital, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm asking. What are you going to do when you're amongst your friends and they violate certain things that you believe, know in your heart is not right? Are you just going to go with the flow? What are you going to do when God calls your name? And he says, do this for me, do that for me, do this for me and do that for me. Is your conscience awakened? Because you have spent time in his presence. More and more I understand why 10 minutes can't do it in his presence. Some of us will never reach the level where we can pronounce things in the atmosphere and it can happen just like that. There are some people that has the authority in the spirit to be able to pronounce things and it happens. That's why 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours. I'm ending with this teaching tonight. What's the time? 8:05. As you start to get into a relationship with God, more and more I understand. And my heart stopped it, but I end with, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added. All these things shall be added. Now when you read up, you'll find out the Here praat van die mossie, the Here praat van Solomon, the Here praat van die lelies. The Lord speaks about clothing, how he's arrayed. And Solomon was not arrayed like one of the lilies. Sort of. And one sparrow falls. And not one fall without God knowing. And then he comes and says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. And all these things shall be added. Now, if God says it, then my God, he cannot lie. But you see, God understands in this world, it is things that grabs a hold of our hearts. Things. Men, women, money. Some of you just survive. Every Sunday, you just survive. You just survive. And then I'm busy making a study of men that really sought after God, were seeking. This one man, for 7 hours, for 3 years, every single day. 7 hours. That's without just reading the word, just speaking to God. And it's maybe just one, give me souls, Lord. Give me souls. Lord, give me souls. Lord, give me souls. Give me Scotland, or let me die. Lord, for 3.5, every single day. And a revival broke. It took him 3 years, every single, not missing one day. I was just asking God, that's all he prayed. Give me souls, or let me die. Can you imagine having the first 7 days, every day? And guess what? That man didn't lack anything. 7 hours a day on his knees. Let's say knie. It's like what's a harder blisters clip. 7 hours a day. And then after 3 years, God shows up in his room. He just opens his mouth and towns get saved. Jesus, give your heart to Jesus. Everybody just fall down. It sounds so impossible. So this one pastor, I laugh because I was listening to his teaching. He says, I'm also going to do this. So he goes for 7 hours, 3 months. He says, Lord, give me souls or let me die. The Lord says, die. He says, you want to pray 7 hours for 3 months. That man prayed 3 years. So you die. You didn't get it. We want breakthrough. But we are not seeking and getting the heart of God. That's why he says, when you seek. You see, but I'm working. Yeah, but you can start 10 o'clock at night till 5. Every single night when nobody sees you and you start to pray, I can guarantee you, 2 minutes, you'll fall asleep. Because we are not hungry enough. We are not hungry enough. But when we are, when we, your flesh is going to fight you. Your what? Your flesh. You say, what am I going to do for 7 hours? You listen to God. You read His word. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, book of Acts. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Ephesians. You just read it, read it. Read. Let Him speak to you. Let Him speak to your heart. The thing is, we've got too much word of ourselves in us that He needs to flush it out. Are you with me? I'm talking about me too. He needs to what? Flush it out. Are you with me? You need to what? Flush it out. We must allow God to flush out every worldly thing out of us. Are you with me? He needs to what? Flush it out. It's not going to happen with 1 hour on a Sunday morning. We need to do what? Flush it out. In this audience, there are people sitting that God says, seek me, and all these things will be added. And even if there's one in this audience that says, I'm going to do that, nobody sees. You'll see what will happen. And the grace of God is on this house. Easier. Right? The grace is the ability that God gives us. So He says, I put something on you to do that. I put something on you to do that. I put something on you to do that. Put something on you. So in other words, God has already graced you, so you can do it. You can what? But do you have the discipline to believe that He can do it through you? So when we read this discipleship, and we go, every week we go back and we just read it, you start to see week after week your life, your words just start to change. You yourself going to say, yeah, but I don't speak like that anymore. I don't, because what? Amen? Amen? So when we keep on doing healing in our hearts, happens much quicker. That's what? There's not one person here that doesn't have challenges. Just because we don't say it and you don't see it on our faces doesn't mean you think you've got problems until you sit and listen to somebody else. Are you with me? We think our problem is the biggest, right? It's because we only think about our problems. We never think about the love of God. Not the next person. Not the next person. Because we can't change anything about the next person. We can't. What? We must think about, our thoughts must be, we are seated in heavenly places. A lifeguard has been trained to save another life in water. When somebody drowns and you know you can't swim, but you want to be a hero, you're a fool. Isn't it true? Because now, there's two people that the lifeguards must save now. Instead of go find help, you want to go in knowingly. You think you, Peter, you're just going to triple op die water. No, you're going to sink. You're going to drown. If we don't know Jesus, we will never be able to be a lifeguard to people. Are you with me? Including me. And there's levels in God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me, church? You are doing good. I can see you want to be taught. Some people stayed away tonight because they were afraid of what they saw last week. Oh, you think I'm joking? Some people didn't come to now because what if he calls me? What if he calls me? So you allow Satan to rob you. And you didn't even know. I'm not going to call anybody up. Some of you even came and said, "Oh, I just hope." And some said, "I hope he calls my name because I want to be a leader. I want to train people." Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for your teaching. We thank you we are more richer having you in our lives. Touch us every day with your word. We bow before you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we want to learn more. We want to get to know you more. Thank you for touching our hearts, making our hearts alive, our conscience alive. We give you praise and we give you honor. We walk in victory. Thank you. Your word is truth. Thank you for your healing all over this place. Thank you for your favor all over this place. Thank you for your heart all over this place. Thank you for your peace all over this place. Lord, and even those that's going through challenges, Lord, you love us. And you will take us through it, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Doesn't matter what we face. We are overcomers because of your word, because of you. And we thank you, Lord. You touch us, Lord. This year, our day has arrived. We give you praise, Lord. We give you honor. Lord, make us reservoirs. Reservoirs of love and peace. Hallelujah. And wisdom, Lord. Reservoirs. So that as you touch us, we can touch others, Lord. As you save us, we can save others, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God bless you. Amen and amen and amen.